Our first guest speaker is direct from NASA and SETI's Institute, and it's Dr. Adrian Brown, and he's going to talk us through the Curiosity rover. Now, Mr. Peter Elwood is going to be the moderator for this particular session.
Adrian, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Welcome.
Thanks very much.
For the people in the audience, Dr. Adrian Brown is a planetary scientist working with the SETI Institute and the NASA Ames Research Centre. He's an Australian citizen, is that right, Adrian?
That
still
is
or not?
Correct, yes. I'm a green card holder in the US.
Fantastic. Just while we're waiting for that, Adrian's speciality is research on Mars, astrobiology, remote sensing spectroscopy, with a focus of analysing data on various instruments aboard the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. And Adrian's going to give us an overview of what's going to happen in the next hour or so when the Mars Science Laboratory rover tries to land on Mars.
Yeah, so we're about 1 minute, 1 hour, as I look away from the screen behind me, I can see we're 1 hour from crew stage separation, which is what we're going to start this video with here. So this happens when Curiosity is 10 minutes off the surface. I think we're actually seeing the launch phase there from Earth, so this is detailing when Curiosity was on its journey, which fortunately has almost arrived at the end of, and that Mars will be fully up in its sights. I'm seeing a picture of the crew stage heading off to Mars now. Now, we just arrived 8.5 months later, and we're about 10 minutes away from the surface. The crew stage is jettisoned and was there. And at this point, Curiosity is going to use the atmosphere of Mars to slow down. And it basically, using rockets here and the heat shield that we see heating up here, are slowing it down. Before it jettisons the heat shield and exposes and it lets off a parachute first. This is a supersonic parachute that was actually tested at NASA Ames. The biggest supersonic parachute ever built by man. So we'll see that spring out at the back here in just a second. There it goes there. Hopefully that goes very well. That requires some of the pyrotechnics. There's 73 different pyrotechnics that have to fire correctly for the landing to happen. And the heat shield is also jettisoned, and this exposes the radar beneath the rover. You can see the rover curled up tight there. And then it has a jet pack with jet engines that slow it further to a speed of about 120 meters per second down to the surface at basically about 0 meters per second in vertical velocity. And it comes down to about 20 meters. The radar will be measuring its distance from the surface here, so that's critical that the radar works perfectly. And at about 20 meters above the surface, at zero vertical velocity, the rover will then be lowered on a tether. And you'll see that happen right here. There's the tether going down. And then some more of those bolts have to fire, explosive bolts, to sever the tether and to drop the rover, the remaining potentially 10 feet to the ground. That happens just there. Hopefully there's no high winds at this stage. As you can see, that's a critical stage in ascent. And then the jetpack itself goes away so that it won't kick up any dust and, importantly, won't land itself on the rover. Point. Of course, the rover is now ready for deployment, so what we're going to see first is the... firstly, what's happening right here is an image is being gathered, and that will happen in about an hour and a half's time from now here, from this time now that I'm speaking to you. And then the mast cam will go up. As you can see, that's the top of the mast there, and they'll start taking photos from the mast cam in stereo just to get an idea of their landing site, which I think you're going to hear about from another speaker, Marian Anderson, in just a second. The rover will then take off and investigate some of the rocks lying around. It will be landing very close to a place called Mount Sharp, which contains a whole lot of geology that we'll be very interested in finding out more about.
Adrian, just while we're doing that, can you tell us why it's so complicated, this landing procedure?
Yes, there is a good reason why NASA has moved from the airbag landing system, which was the Mir rovers landing system. The Mir rovers were about 150 kilos each, so that they could land with the bubble of airbags protecting them. However, the MSL rover is 1,000 kilograms, a metric ton, so it couldn't use the bag system. It had to use this Skycrane system in order to get it onto the surface safely. The airbags just wouldn't cut it with that sort of weight. There's also a lot more instruments that you have to be very protective of, a lot more sensitive instruments, such as the sample analysis at Mars instrument, which sits inside the rover and probably couldn't take the sort of bang that it'd get with an airbag landing. So this is a new system. It hasn't been tested yet in the full Mars mode, but it has been, the radar and the individual pieces have been tested extensively in Death Valley here in California. And obviously the simulations have been run countless times at Jet Propulsion Laboratory to try and ensure that they've got everything just right. We'll find out in an hour and a half how right they were.
Thank you. That was wonderful. I guess your work's going to really start to happen once we have a successful landing, hopefully. Is that right, Adrian?
Exactly. I don't get to do anything until it starts pouring back the data, but I'm very interested in the first couple of measurements of the atmosphere that MSL will take. So there have recently been some papers. In 2009, there was a paper that suggested there was methane in the Martian atmosphere. MSL has an instrument that can determine whether this is in fact the case, because this is a very astounding result, very exciting result, but also very challenging experiment to take, a very challenging measurement to make from Earth. So Curiosity is going to tell us that within the first few days, and we'll probably find out within the first weeks in the public, whether the methane on Mars is true or a figment of our excited imagination.
Brilliant. So is there a Mars landing party over where you are there, or are you off
there
to bed now? Or?
Yes, I'm here at NASA Ames. I'm actually in the office of the NASA Lunar Science Institute Director, Yvonne Pendleton. She's looking in her office today. And I can see out the window here, there's a party at the moment. There's 10,000 people who've come to NASA Ames from the surrounding Silicon Valley area. They're all the tech geeks from Google and Facebook and stuff who are neighbors of NASA Ames. And there's about 10,000 of them. There's two big screens out there, and they've had people talking about Mars. So it's a fantastic party that we're having.
Well, that's terrific. So as an Australian, I guess you must be proud to be over there representing the country for us.
Of course. Yes, I am. I am very, very happy to be here. And we also have other Australians who are also working on the project as well. But I'm happy to fly the flag.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you, Adrian. Really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. We're all looking forward to the next couple of hours. So I hope you have a great night and a great few months and years ahead.
Yes. Fingers crossed. Let's hope everything works.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye. Good night.
See you then.